Yo, what's up? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Monday, March 9th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing, Addy O'Leary Jr., and joining me is Tim. I do it for the Ratchet Skettys, Tim.
Hell yeah, baby. It's all I do.
Dude, how you feeling today, man?
I'm feeling real good. I'm feeling it in my bones. I'm feeling it in my balls. What is
dude,
it? The vibe.
What are the vibes, dude? We went to the club on Friday. We talked about this a little bit on KF Podcast. And let me tell you.
It was the preamble. On the KF Podcast, we were talking, saying we were going to do it.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has happened.
We did it. We went to the club.
Yeah.
And I feel like we didn't get Ratchet enough.
No. We didn't.
I have critiques, but overall, it was a success.
Like, we weren't turned off, but we weren't, like, turned up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like nothing happened where it was like, oh, this is going to be a problem later on.
Yeah.
No, we're all responsible adults.
There were some things. But shout out to the fact that this club legit played Tokyo Drift.
Yes.
Like, I didn't request it. I had nothing to do with it. It just started happening.
Yes.
And I lost my fucking
shit. It was great. I will say, one of my critiques was, I don't think the DJ was, like, on 10.
Mm-mm,
I feel like the DJ was on a strong 7.
Yeah.
And they had, like, the DJ had moments.
You did.
Right? They played the Tokyo Drift song.
Yeah.
I want to say they played I Don't Fuck With You by Big Sean at some point. Yeah. And aside from that, I don't really know if they had any hits.
Yeah.
They didn't have any of the other
shot.
Ones from the club. Oh, dude.
To do it for the Ratchets.
We'll have to give another shot. Tim, people might be wondering right now, where is Greg Miller? Because on Friday's KFGD, he was the name I read the most.
I'm Greg Miller. I'm coming back. I need to make everything about me.
Oh, there's PlayStation news. I'm going to come back from my trip because I got to cover this.
And he comes back. Oh, I kind of have a sore throat.
It's like, oh, yeah, I got a sore throat. You know, coronavirus. I don't want to spread it. It's like, bro, you went to Canada.
Yeah, you went to Canada. We Montreal. Saw all that shit you ate. Nah. Lies.
Laziness.
Anyways, it's exciting news because that means that today you guys are releasing, or tomorrow, I guess, you guys are releasing the PlayStation
Under Radius. Oh, yeah, so that's news we should address. So today we're not going to be recording a replacement episode 10 like we were going to do since there's so much PlayStation news. Instead, the Under Radius will come out tomorrow, and then next week's episode we'll be back stronger than ever, addressing all the things, the Ghost of Tsushima information, what's up with Sony, Santa Monica, all that good stuff, The Last of Us movie. It's a lot of PlayStation
news
last
week. It is, man. It's fun stuff.
And so now I'm here. And Tim?
I've been thinking a lot about PlayStation, by the way.
Really?
Not to go on too much of a segue here, but or a tangent here. We now know all the dates for the PlayStation lineup for PS4.
Like, do we? Do we?
I mean, well,
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, because, I mean, like, it's crazy. We've been talking for years about this kind of, like, line of games. Like, I remember doing PS I Love Your episodes, like, where the guys were talking about guessing from Spider-Man Horizon.
Oh,
on,
yeah.
You know? And it's like, we now know
where everything kind
Death
of falls.
Death Stranding is out.
Yeah.
Right?
Death Stranding is out.
We have a release date, even though it already got delayed. We have a new release
date.
Ghost of Tsushima. Like, this is crazy, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's endgame.
We're here. Dude, another tangent, right? I have a playlist now that I play when I need to wake up. And so, like, today I woke up later because I didn't think I was going to be hosting the show. And so when I woke up and saw the message from Greg of, like, hey, can you come in today? I was like, okay, cool. I got a playlist for this. And let me tell you, it's a playlist I made last week called Wake Me Up. I want to read you some of these because I feel like you specifically will appreciate
this playlist. Wake me up before you go,
girl. It's basically songs that will get me either, like, hype in the morning or will kind of motivate me.
Okay.
And so I have on this playlist All of the Lights by Kanye. Highlights by Kanye.
A lot of lights.
Sunday Candy by Donnie Trumpet and the Social Experiment.
Oh, that's a good one. It eases you in.
Yeah, dude. Rise and Shine, J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Blood on the Leaves, Kanye.
See, <they're, laughs>
that's a lot of Kanye.
0 to 60 there.
Yeah. Say What You Say, Eminem. Let me see here. What else do I got? I Am the Greatest by Logic.
I love it. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. 5 a.m. in Toronto, Drake.
So you definitely have a, like, early morning theme.
Yeah, no, legit. It's like get in the mood, get hype, get ready. And so that's in the mood I am today, because today's stories include a new Call of Duty game that's launching literally tomorrow, which is crazy. A fresh new look for the cyberpunk protagonist, and continually concerning coronavirus cancellations, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live, right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindafunnygames, or listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kinda Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, head to patreon.com/kindafunnygames, where bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free with the exclusive daily post-show. Add that in.
What a deal.
People need to know.
What a deal.
That post-show. Let me tell you, Friday's post-show, was it Friday? Who did I host with on Friday? Was it Imran? Or was it you?
I think it was me and you. And I think it was really good.
Yeah. Whatever Friday's post show was excellent. And so, people, you should check out that post show. You should subscribe to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Now it's time for some housekeeping. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Momo, Drew Garnier, Fructis. We had a whole conversation about this.
Yeah.
Fructis, Blackjack, and the Kind of Funny Destiny 2 PC clan. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, Mint Mobile, and Brooklinen, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Take your time, Kevin. It's time for some news. We got 5 stories today.
A baker's dozen.
Starting with number 1, a new Call of Duty is launching tomorrow. This is fresh. This is very fresh.
This is super crazy.
So I'm going to read from their press release, and then Kevin, I sent a trailer to Assets, which we'll watch after the press release because we haven't had time to watch the trailer because this news is fresh, like very fresh. And so from the press release from Activision, Call of Duty is about to serve up a new massive combat experience with the game-changing free-to-play Call of Duty Warzone available tomorrow. Warzone is an all-new experience from the world of Call of Duty Modern Warfare where up to 150 players can squad up with friends and drop into a massive online combat arena packed with nonstop action and endless fun. At launch, players will team up and fight as a trio across 2 epic modes, which includes a new take on the popular all-out survival battle royale mode with new and innovative ways to play, and an all-new original mode called Plunder, where teams battle to collect the most in-match cash. Kevin, can you pull up that trailer for us to watch?
Yep.
Because, man, this is something that leaked, I want to say, either last night or early this morning.
Yeah.
And I was pulling together, and I was like, okay, cool, this is going to be a fun leak to report on. Now we actually have gameplay that we can watch. Boom.
Getting ahead of it.
Yeah.
Pretty big news, man.
Pretty big news.
Oh, yeah, we're good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Inappropriate for some
minute
users.
30. Okay, I like that.
Bring this up. All right. Good to go. Rated M for mature. Welcome to Warzone. Free to play for everyone.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy. 150 players.
Wow. They're just
one mass world. Yeah, they are just like swinging it around.
It's hitting everything.
Oh my God.
They have vehicles.
Yo, did you see that helicopter just slice a human being to pieces?
This is the plunder mode they're talking about where you're fighting to get the most cash. Which I'm guessing is going to be like a kill confirm situation where you have to go, like after you kill somebody, you have to actually go collect whatever it is, or I guess the cash. And then, yeah, Battle Royale.
Honestly, this is really all the trailer needs to be, right? Like, I feel like they're doing a good job of just being like, hey, guys, you know what this is. We know what this is. We're just going to confirm that you understand exactly what this is.
Yeah, like, they're getting all the key details out there, right? How many players is it?
Oh, my God.
What are the mechanics that are, or in the features that are new? Does it have vehicles? Which, obviously, yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, somebody just got kicked.
Give me some big fucking text on the screen and I'm in.
Freer? What does freer mean? Oh, like free roll. I thought they were talking about free to play. Free for everybody.
I think they mean that as well. Yeah. It's all the frees.
So that comes out tomorrow, March 10th, free to play. Tim, what are your thoughts on all this?
Look, I feel like a lot of people might look at this and be like, oh, too little, too late. No, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. It's like there are more people that are used to playing these games now than ever. And all it takes for them to just put out something that's quality and people are going to latch onto it. Even if it's not quality, the Call of Duty name alone and free, people are going to, in the droves, be signing up to play this, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Apex does have the leg up of having the, what, year plus run now of kind of like really getting it down, but Call of Duty's had the legacy of being the franchise for a decade plus. So I don't know, it's one of those things. We saw a lot of battle royales popping up in the last couple of years and it was kind of like, oh, where's the market saturation, whatever. This to me is not an example of like, oh, do we really need another one? It's like, this is inevitable. Mm-hmm. This type of thing is probably something we should have seen earlier, but I'm not surprised we're getting it now, and I don't think it's too late.
Yeah, and I think like they had Battle Royale and Black Ops, mm-hmm. and I think that was, I mean, obviously their first attempt at it, and I think this is kind of a signifier that they think they can do way better, right? The idea that they're making it free to play, I think, is a signifier that, hey, Fortnite did it well. Fortnite actually did it the best, right? Fortnite figured it out. Apex came out, launched super successful, free to play, has some of the similar features here. Why Battle Royale is obviously not meant to be a premium pay $60 experience. If we want people, if we want the player base for this, and if we want people to really feel invested in and the kind of success that we've seen Fortnite and Apex have, we got to make it free to play. We got to make it so that anybody can jump in. The 150 players thing is crazy to me, but also I don't know if I'm sold on it yet, right? Sold on it being a good thing. 150 players is a lot.
Yeah.
Apex, well, Fortnite has 99 players, I believe. Apex has 60 players, and that's my most preferred. You know, I don't think like 100 players. I don't think it's the more the merrier situation always when it comes to battle royale. I think there's something about that 60 players that Apex has that makes it a tight, controlled experience. It makes it feel like you actually have a chance of winning, which is a nice thing. 150 players sounds ridiculous to me in a way where maybe when I try it I'll get it and I'll be like, oh, this is really fun, but so far I'm like, oh shoot, 150 players sounds like a lot.
That, I mean, that is insane. But Call of Duty kind of has that gameplay though that I feel like people are a little bit more used to playing it from the shooter perspective, right, where it's like they've been playing it competitively for so long that I feel like the playing field might be a bit more like not just equal but full of active players that are playing it on a more competitive level. Right, and I'm not saying competitive meaning pro. I'm saying competitive meaning like good just enough like high, to like so that there are going to be more people in that 150 that are, you know, at the same level. So you, if you're on that level, you still do have a good shot.
Yeah, I'm going to read this from the blog that Activision posted because they've detailed a lot of things about the battle royale and plunder mode and Call of Duty Warzone in general. And so I'm going to read.
Plunder seems pretty cool too.
Yeah,
plunder especially seems with cool. 150 people. Like that sounds like a more than merrier.
So wait till I tell you about Gulag. How it pronounced when I get there, because that is the thing that kind of strikes me as the most like, oh, this is kind of cool. But I'll get there later. For now, I'm going to read from their blog post where they detail Battle Royale and Plunder. At launch, players can squad up in trios with their friends on PS4, Battle.net for PC, or Xbox One across two game modes, Battle Royale and Plunder. In Battle Royale, fight to be the last squad standing while escaping the deadly gas in the swiftly closing circle with up to 150 players. In Plunder, the race is on to collect the most in-match cash by looting across the map, taking down enemies to steal their cash, and completing in-match contracts, which is a cool thing.
Yeah,
you're like completing contracts in order to gain cash. Warzone takes place in Verdansk, an expansive city with multiple named zones and well over 300 points of interest, which is crazy. Again, each zone features distinct landmarks like the Gorengard lumberyard or the Gora Dam. The zones take place across different environment types like cities and rural areas for unique engagements. Change up your drop location in each match to get a better lay of the land and take advantage of what Verdansk has to offer. Need to escape the gas in closing circle or get to another zone? Take a vehicle. And then they detail vehicles, right? So there's an ATV, there's a tactical rover, which is a four-seater, there's an SUV, there's a cargo truck, and there's a helicopter for vehicles. And then let's see, mechanics of the Warzone. Warzone features some unique mechanics that keep each match interesting and give you plenty of strategies to try for a new experience every time you drop in. And they detail a list. So the Gulag, which is only available in Battle Royale. Upon your first elimination, you'll be taken to a prisoner of war zone. You'll be taken as a prisoner of war zone and thrown into the Gulag. There you will await your fate and watch prisoners fight to the death.
What the fuck?
When your turn is up, you'll enter the Gulag and face off against a single enemy or a single opponent one-on-one to earn the ultimate reward, redeployment. Win in the Gulag and earn redeployment back into Verdansk. Lose and hope that your squad completes contracts and earns enough in-match cash to redeploy you. You fight for your right to get back into the match. And if you lose, you're done. And have to wait for your teammates to see if they get enough cash to bring you back in.
That's pretty cool, especially if you're playing one of the squad modes. Because it's like, if you're with the squad, you don't want to just sit there doing nothing.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. And that's like that's one of my things with Apex. You know, I love Apex for how they've kind of shepherded in the tag system where if you die, your teammates pick up your tag and then revive you, right? That's a cool system. You are still kind of sitting around doing nothing. And so the idea that the way they're going about it.
For your life.
Yeah, the way they're going about it in Call of Duty Warzone is, hey, if your teammates want to get you back in the game, they can, but they're going to have to complete contracts and actually put in the work to bring you back. Or if you got the hands, you can go one-on-one with an opponent and see if you can fight your way back.
Pretty cool, man.
That's super cool to me. And so there's Gulag. And then, contracts are objective-oriented tasks players can find and activate across Verdansk. A squad can activate one contract at a time and completing it rewards you in in-match cash and other loot items. Multiple types of contracts exist, including scavenger contracts, where you have to find and open a series of supply boxes, and recon contacts, where you must secure one location. Similar to Call of Duty's domination mode, in addition to in-match cash, contracts can give you special rewards, like the ability to see the next circle collapse location before it starts to close.
This is cool, man. I love that it really does seem like, you know, we have the big titans at the end of the day now, right? Where mm-hmm. it's, we have Call of Duty, we have Fortnite, and like PUBG is there somewhere. But yeah. Then, you know, Apex kind of coming out of nowhere.
Yeah.
But it's like Titanfall and the backing of that. So it's like, you know, they still are
mm-hmm.
titans
yeah.
for all intents and purposes. To see each one of them kind of learn from the last.
Yeah, dude. And like,
look
it's
at
crazy.
Like what isn't working here? And then kind of like fixing that. It's really cool. And I feel like there has been a worry of like, does it at some point just like homogenize all of them, that they're all the same game? But mm-hmm. no, because each one of these kind of has
they're learning from each other in a way that each new big battle royale game kind of feels super fresh. From like the idea of the gulag, right, seems super cool. They go in detail the buy stations, which I'll just read here, right? In battle royale, we're collecting in-match cash isn't the objective. Cash can be used to procure beneficial items at buy stations. That's a feature from Radical Heights. Like that, Radical Heights is the game that kind of shepherded in like the buy stations for Battle Royale, and then Fortnite kind of took that. And yeah, like it's a thing that's here now, right? Even like the small, what was the Battle Royale game where there's like, if I describe it, it's just sound like Fortnite. There's like a World of Warcrafty Battle Royale game that somebody's gonna kindoffunny.com/you're wrong me on. But that game had certain features that then also fed into Fortnite and had like a class system. I think it also had like a revive system. Or something like that, I can't remember. But yeah, the ways that in which these Battle Royale games kind of feed into each other is really impressive and really cool to see because, I mean, Apex was my game of the year last year, right? Because of the ways in which it kind of forwarded that. And so to see other games coming through and trying to push that barrier and make things more interesting and expansive and fresh and different in Battle Royale, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
They go on to detail seamless play. Call of Duty Warzone shares Call of Duty Modern Warfare's crossplay and unified progression. For players that already own the full version of Modern Warfare, all content already earned, including Battle Pass items, operators, weapons, and customization items, will carry over to Warzone, and all progression earned in Warzone will count towards overall Modern Warfare progression. For players who do not own the full version of Modern Warfare, all progress and items they've earned in Warzone will be rewarded across multiplayer and special ops in Modern Warfare, should they ever choose to purchase it. There are no level caps in Warzone. Jump in. So everything's integrated together.
Is awesome, man. And again, yet another sign of where we're moving towards with what next gen means.
Yeah.
Where it is you own your kind of identity when it comes to video games. Your account kind of like joins you as you progress through things, and they just want you to stay playing games. And that's a very exciting thing. You know, I feel like that's like really what gets people in. Like when you look at PlayStation, right? Like Greg will play games on PlayStation because they have trophies.
Yes.
You know, yeah. Even if the Xbox version's better, he doesn't care. He wants the trophies, right? This is the type of thing that keeps you playing Call of Duty. It's your, if you already have, like, if you've been playing Modern Warfare for, you know, even a couple nights a week for the last year, and then this comes out, you're like, oh, I'm gonna stay here. I'm gonna keep this going. And it's like Warzone could be a great thing for Call of Duty in between releases. Mm-hmm. Right, if they keep updating it, and it's just kind of this thing where pop back and forth between the main multiplayer of the latest Call of Duty, but then also playing this ever evolving battle royale while you're all gaining the same experience, that's awesome.
Yeah, and this does make me think, what does this mean for Call of Duty this fall? Because I imagine they're gonna release a Call of Duty this fall. I couldn't imagine they somehow skip, even though we've had reports recently of there being shakeups in terms of the Call of Duty dev cycle,
mm-hmm.
where I gotta find like the Call of Duty like Wikipedia to see where we're at in Call of Duties, because like I believe the studio that you would have thought was going to develop this fall's game has been rumored to not be the ones developing the fall's game because of deadlines or things going wrong or whatever it is. And so I wonder if this is then in some way accounting for that. And I wonder if that then means like I believe this one is being done by Infinity Ward, because this is the Modern Warfare. I think this is within like the Modern Warfare universe. Hold on. All right. Last year was Modern Warfare, which was done by Infinity Ward. I believe this one is also developed by Infinity Ward. And then you would think that Sledgehammer Games would be the ones developing this fall's, because they were in 2017. Because the year before last year was Black Ops, which was Treyarch.
Yeah. And then the year before that was Infinite Warfare.
The year before Black Ops 4 was Call of Duty World War II.
You're right.
Game. It's so confusing because there's so many at this point. But
I don't know. I never will know.
Yeah. And so there's been rumors that this year's Call of Duty is going to be Black Ops 5 or some sort of Black Ops game because they're skipping Sledgehammer and going directly to Treyarch. It also surprises me that Infinity Ward has just a lot going on in Call of Duty. But the fact that Infinity Ward is now releasing another game Modern Warfare is
Infinite
crazy to me.
Infinite Warfare and Marvel's Infinity War.
Yeah,
all different things.
All different things. But I'm very excited for this. Yes. I'm going to play the mess out of this.
It is interesting, though, to think about, could there be a world where we don't get a Call of Duty proper game in the fall, especially during a launch of
a console?
Hardware,
right? I don't think there's a chance,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't think there's a chance either. And them getting this out, it's coming out March 10th.
Tomorrow.
Yeah, like that's way early. Like that's like not going to affect that stuff at all. And also, it's free to play.
But I then also wonder, like, how does this look? Like, how does this feed into their long-term Call of Duty plan? Are we then getting two Call of Duties a year, or is this like a once in a 4-year thing? Or
I imagine this is a platform with a name like Call of Duty Warzone. Mm-hmm. Like this is perfect branding. Of you put this out there and you just iterate on it. There will never. I hope you'd imagine that this is a success.
Yeah.
If it's good.
And
if it works and if it's all the things it needs to be, then you just have seasons of Warzone.
Yeah.
Right. Like there will never be a Warzone 2.
You don't think there would ever be a Warzone 2?
I mean,
I feel like at a certain point
it's Call of Duty, man. Yeah. They can do whatever the fuck they want.
And that's my thing. Like, and this is free to play, right? So they don't necessarily get the benefit of selling copies each year. The benefits they're getting off of this is microtransactions. You would imagine the Battle Pass or whatever that is.
Yeah.
And so there's not really a reason to keep releasing every year. But at a certain point, I imagine you'd want to refresh.
Do you think we'll ever get an Apex Legends 2?
Maybe. I mean, we're getting an Overwatch 2.
That's different, though.
I feel like the only difference is that they're free to play. Granted, we haven't gotten a second Battle Royale iteration.
That's
yet.
What I'm saying.
But we're still early in the Battle Royale genre. Well, actually, we got there was a very bad Battle Royale but we got a second one too. I can't remember the name of it, but it was like one of the OG Battle Royales. I want to say before PUBG.
Oh,
got a second
like
iteration.
The DayZs and things like that.
Yeah, so, like
Arma 2.
Something like along those lines that did get a second one, but it was very bad.
Yeah.
But I don't.
It's a different era though. It's just like, I just think that we have a world now with seasons and battle passes and things that, like, the more the general consumer understands those things and wants to support those things and continues to buy those things, you don't need sequels, especially to free-to-play games.
But I feel like
you want more people playing the same thing.
I feel like it depends on the game, though, because I feel like when it comes to live service games, depending on what the monetization structure is and just what the whole development structure is as far as, like, post-launch development, really, it's more so the case that they extend the life cycle of the game rather than make the life cycle of a game like infinite.
Mm-hmm.
And so Destiny 2, we got it. And once again, like that's a full price game. That's a whole other ordeal. But I feel like at a certain point, maybe in 5 years, Apex Legends 2 becomes a thing because technology's progressed and
sure. If we're talking like distant future, I think at that point it's a technological thing of just they want to move on to a better, foundation. But I think we're so far away from that. Like until cloud gaming is totally figured out, I don't think that level of technological jump is going to occur, right? Like I feel like once that is really figured out, there will kind of be like a new baseline where it is like it is just scalability, like PC, where all games are pretty much being made the same.
Yeah,
and it's just like we just need this core, and then it just depends on how powerful is your system or how powerful is the cloud to compute your shit.
Yeah,
right. But with a name like Warzone, like that is just such a that can apply to Modern Warfare, Infinite Warfare, Black Ops, like any of their brands.
That makes sense, yeah.
Like, I think Warzone works. So I don't see them change that. Like, I can imagine it'd be like Black Ops Warzone, but it's then just still the free to play. It's still the same thing.
And I could see like a Black Ops expansion for Warzone. Like,
exactly.
In the next, like, say this.
So maybe not seasons, but it's like.
Yeah, like if this fall is Black Ops, is a new Black Ops game, like, is being theorized, I could see then, the following March is then the Black Ops expansion for Call of Duty Warzone, where they are adding like maybe a new map that is then,
absolutely.
Yeah. Number two, Cyberpunk has revealed the look for its feminine protagonist. This comes from Joseph Noop at IGN.
I have not seen this and I am excited.
And Kevin, can you pull this up? Because there's images that people can see. Cyberpunk 2077 developer CD Projekt Red, or CD Projekt Red? Because isn't the J silent? CD Projekt Red is celebrating International Women's Day by showing off an updated depiction of the feminine version of the protagonist, V. The new art is also Cyberpunk 2077's reversible box art. CD Projekt Red shared the new look from the official Cyberpunk 2077 Twitter account. V still looks like the hardened citizen of Night City we've seen in other trailers and screenshots, with a few key differences. This feminine version of V now has much brighter red hair, pierced ears, and some minor changes to her face. It appears some of the smoky eyeshadow is gone, and the lines in her face, we assume an indicator of some past bodily modification or repair, swoop a little lower on her cheeks now. The official Cyberpunk 2077 Twitter account confirmed in multiple tweets that this new image will be the reverse box art cover, so you can decide whether you have a masculine or feminine V gracing your game.
Couple things I want to say. First off, shout out to CD Projekt Red for just having the balls, having the courage to be like, we're going with the brightest yellow you have ever seen.
Dude,
in
I love
your
it
life.
So much.
It's like they own this yellow. It is so identifiable. I fucking love it. Looking at this image, I would have not known there was any differences at all. But there are. Scroll down, Kev. That's not what I expected to see. Scroll back up. Yeah, so I want to find this, because this image existed before.
Did it?
This image of her like this? Yeah. I swear I've seen
this. Are you sure you're not mixing it up with the
guy?
Yeah, with the dude version?
Fuck, maybe.
Because they look very similar. They look and they do the same pose, I believe. It's the same It's the same kind of pose they're doing.
I'm going to do some Googling. Anyway, I love the look.
Yeah, I love it too. And I love the fact that
I'm going female for sure.
Reversible box art. Yeah, I think I might go for the feminine version because she seems really cool. And then, the article ends by saying the character customization will be a core part of Cyberpunk 2077. Unlike the more set in stone Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, players will be able to change their V's body type, clothes, hairstyle, tattoos, makeup, skin tone, and more. CD Projekt Red is also allowing players to choose body type rather than a strictly defined gender, although the studio was criticized last year for a problematic depiction of a transgender person on an in-game poster and demo footage. But the idea that you'll also be able to change
the
character.
This is one of those, what's it called, Mandela effect?
Mandela effect, yeah.
Yeah, I would have sworn I'd seen that before.
Honestly, when I first saw the image, I was like, we've not seen that before, but then, like.
Yeah, but just the guy's in the exact same pose, and we've seen her before, so in my mind, I just connected them.
Yeah.
Wacky shit.
Frank Furter writes in and says, good morning, blessing Tim. CD Projekt Red confirmed over the weekend for International Women's Day that the box art for Cyberpunk 2077 will be reversible. On the other side, it'll portray the female version of protagonist V. It's subtle occurrences like this that shows how much a dev cares about not only their game and its fans, but moving the industry forward as a whole. With the industry trying to shed its bro culture skin, what other changes would you like to see from your favorite devs that would move the needle further? Thanks for all you do, Frank Furter.
There's a lot going on in that question.
Yeah.
To talk about just the reversible covers real quick. I love when games do it.
Oh,
I feel like there's a certain level of craftsmanship that goes into caring about those details.
Yeah.
And there's an understanding that, you can't have a super artsy cover because it's simply not going to sell as well as covers that are a bit more traditionally appealing.
And I feel like CD Projekt Red has done it better than any other company, where you would get The Witcher 3 and you open it up and there's like a thank you note and there's like packs of paper, like the paper that you missed being in video game boxes before. There's packs of those of like, I think they're like codes for cosmetic stuff, and I think there might have been like a link to the soundtrack. Like, there's quite a few things in that box that made it feel special.
Yeah,
the fact that you're buying The Witcher 3.
I remember Final Fantasy 15 had a reversible one that was all the bros on the cover. But when you flip it, it was the all white with the Final Fantasy logo, just like old classic Final Fantasy games. It's things like that. It's just like little touches that really go a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I love this, though, because it really is kind of like who is your V? Like, which one are you, like, who are you choosing to play as? Like, that's it's a fun touch that isn't just like, here's an artsy version, here's a not artsy version. It's kind of like, hey, no, like, this is going into what this game is for the experience. It really is a role-playing game. You get to play it how you want to.
I think that's the big thing, right? The customization and the ownership that you want to have over your character. I think this goes a long way into cementing that as like, hey, no, V is not just the one dude character that we have as like the default. V is what V means to whoever is playing V, right? And like, you can, of course, customize V to be whatever, right? You can customize V to be black, you can customize V to be transgender, you can make V look however you want. And so, like, I think it would have been even cooler if they took a step further and made, like, the reversal cover, like, maybe even, like, the black woman version of V.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, like, I'll take what I can get, but, like, you know, I think small steps like that could make very good change in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number three, Fallout 76 broke its VO budget. This comes from Haley Williams at GameSpot. The Fallout 76 team has had a lot to do in the last year, working to flesh out a world once populated by only players and monsters. It may come as no surprise to find out that some of the game's upgrades came in over budget. In an interview published by US Gamer, Bethesda's vice president, Pete Hines, went into some detail about the process of developing Wastelanders, discussing both the project's goals and what went into achieving them. And as a reminder, Wastelanders is their upcoming DLC. I don't know if it already came out or not. Yeah, can somebody look that up? But yeah, Wastelanders is their DLC that's supposed to add in NPCs. With a world of new NPCs to be integrated into the game, Hines reveals that the designers went a little ham with adding dialogue that would then have to be delivered by voice actors. Quote, they went much beyond what they were budgeted to do because... It's coming out next month? Yep. Okay. Quote, they went much beyond what they were budgeted to do because designers can't help themselves. So they blew past their word count budgets, he said. The design on NPC interactions and quests has had a focus on replayability, as Hines is realistic about not being able to produce content as fast as players can play through it. Quote, there's just no reasonable reasonable cadence that you can just put out large volumes of quest content that will keep up with the extent to which players burn through it. Because it's going to take you 6 months, 9 months, a year to make content that they're going to burn through in 2 weeks, Hines said. Tim.
Yes.
First of all, are you into Fallout at all?
Absolutely not.
Okay. I am a Fallout person, but I didn't play Fallout 76. One, because I didn't have faith in it going in. And then two, because when it came out, it got bad reviews and I was like, knew it. And so I kind of stayed away from it. But one of the big reasons I did stay away from it, or one of the big reasons I was very trepidatious going into it, was the fact that there was no NPCs, mm-hmm. right? And so this Wastelanders DLC kind of piqued my interest. It's not necessarily sold me on going back to Fallout 76 or trying to jump into Fallout 76, but for me, one of the biggest things that makes Fallout is the characters that you meet and the ways in which the characters and the dialogue trees and all that stuff builds the world and the story that you're participating in.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think like the idea that they went over budget, I think, is a cool kind of markety, like, hey, look at us. Like, we put in so much effort that we blew past budget.
Hey, the thing that you wanted? Oh, man, we're doing it like a lot more than we said we were.
Oh, yeah. Like, turns out this is going to be way better than we planned for. So I kind of read it as that. But at the same time, it's nice to see that they're going
hard. Good news
hard.
Is good news, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It could be bad news, but whatever. Earlier we were talking about too little, too late. This, to me, perfect example of, it's too little, too late.
Yeah. I asked this question to Greg, I want to say a month or so ago on this show. I'll ask it to you. Which game do you feel like has a better chance of making a comeback between Anthem and Fallout 76?
Dude, I mean, honestly, those are the two that have the least chance of coming back. Like, after so many games that we've seen have kind of shitty launches and then become something years later, over the years later, I feel like Anthem has a better shot. Because Anthem is still kind of an unknown quantity. It's only one game, and it had a bad launch.
Yeah.
But if it came back and was awesome, I feel like it would be new to so many people for the first time, right? Mm-hmm. Fallout 76 is like, in a franchise of games that you can compare it to, and everybody has their touchstone. So I feel like even adding all this stuff in, it'll still never feel like Fallout 5.
That's very much my thing, is that I feel like Fallout 76 has the comparisons that you can make with the other Fallout games, and like, people have that expectation for what a Fallout game is. I don't think Fallout 76 could ever be that, given what it is at its core. Like, maybe one day it builds up and it does have this expansive story and does build this cool world and does become interesting and does have all these quest lines that makes a Fallout game a Fallout game. But with it being what it is, right, with it being a multiplayer, like, build your own settlement kind of thing, built on the foundation of Fallout 4, which is a great Fallout game. Like, I love Fallout 4, but I feel like for Fallout fans, people look to Fallout New Vegas or Fallout 3 as like the superior games. I feel like Fallout 76 has kind of started off from a rough place, a rough enough place where it's very hard for me to see that game kind of coming back.
Yeah.
Anthem, I can kind of see it. The only thing that's really actually making me think Anthem might not come back is the fact that, like, it's under EA, and I'm not really seeing that sort of comeback from EA yet.
Battlefront 2.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point.
But, it's but like, at the same what, time, what does it's a like, comeback mean?
Yeah,
right. Does it mean like critically? Like with reviews, does it mean sales? Does it mean player base? Like,
yeah, because that's the thing with Battlefront 2 is that like I wouldn't have realized Battlefront 2 had came back if people weren't like telling us that like, oh yeah, like no, the sales for Battlefront 2 are back up again. Like,
well, they re-reviewed it. Like IGN re-reviewed it and gave it a much higher score.
Okay.
Yeah, like I don't know the exact numbers. Somebody in your round, let us know. But yeah, like they re-reviewed Battlefront 2 and they're like, hey, like they fixed a lot of the issues.
Yeah, and Anthem, I could see Anthem coming back and being like a good game. I don't know if I can see Anthem coming back and getting
being
back
what Anthem should have been in the first place.
Yeah, being that or like even getting on the top 10 sales like Star Wars Battlefront 2 is, because it's Star Wars and people are going to give that a second shot and come back to it because you see it on the store shelves and you're like, oh, Star Wars. Oh, it's good? Okay, cool. I'll buy it, right? That's something that can happen a few years after in a way that I don't know if Anthem has that kind of... I mean, Anthem kind of had to present itself as having that power at launch and it kind of didn't. And so... I don't know if it can kind of regain that power, but I think we'll see.
We will, man.
We will. Now it's time for the coronavirus section of news. Number four. I had to separate this because, and I didn't know a good way to name it.
You need to come up with a better name than the coronavirus section.
Well, I was going to call it the quarantine zone, but I don't know how to, like handle it in a way that's sensitive.
Kev gives that the no.
Yeah. I didn't know how to like.
Be sensitive to it.
Be sensitive to it, but at the same time, like make it a show, you know? Number four, Mojang and EA cancel live events in response to COVID-19. This comes from Hayden Taylor at gamesindustry.biz. Mojang and Electronic Arts are the latest game companies to cancel live events in response to the novel coronavirus, COVID-19. Minecraft developer Mojang announced it will cancel Minecraft Festival, a live event that was scheduled to take place in Orlando, Florida, in September. Revealed earlier this year, Minecraft Festival was the brand's return to live events after a three-year hiatus. However, due to the scope of the event, Mojang said it was struggling to coordinate amid the coronavirus chaos. Quote, our partners, producers, and exhibitors are based in all corners of the world, and right now we can't meet and collaborate in the way we need to, said Mojang. Without knowing exactly when we can resume planning, we have decided to postpone. That way we can make sure that the next year's events will be the amazing one that our community expects and deserves. Meanwhile, Electronic Arts revealed it was postponing or canceling a number of Apex Legends and FIFA 20 esports events, including the Apex Legends Global Series, which was scheduled to take place over the coming weekend. Quote, these decisions haven't come easy, but given the large global nature of these events, we believe that making these changes are in the best interest of protecting the health of the community, including competitors, attendees, and staff, said EA.
Kevin, quick science with Kev question. Don't mean to put you on the spot here, but you might know the answer. What's up, dude? Why do they call it the novel coronavirus?
No idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Do your thing. You're wrong. Do your thing.
Yeah, kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if you have any information on that. I just assumed it was like the full name, like a first last name situation.
I thought that too, but like looking into it, like it's always lowercase n.
Oh.
So I don't know. I don't know, man.
Number five, South by Southwest has been canceled. A crazy one. This is the crazy one.
Man.
Yeah, this is. This comes from Natalie Jarvey at The Hollywood Reporter. South by Southwest has been canceled due to concerns surrounding the coronavirus outbreak, Austin, Texas Mayor Steve Adler announced Friday afternoon during a press conference. The annual event, which brings together film, interactive media, and music industries, was previously scheduled to run March 13th through March 22nd in the city, right? And that would have been in 4 days.
Yeah.
Which is wild. Adler said he had declared a, quote, local disaster in the city that had effectively canceled South by Southwest. He added that the decision had been made based on the recommendation of Austin's public health officer and director of public health, given the size and nature of the event, which often features concerts where people are in close contact. Travis County, where Austin is located, does not have a confirmed case of coronavirus known as COVID-19. South by Southwest organizers confirmed the cancellation in a statement on the event website, writing, South by Southwest will faithfully follow the city's directions. The statement continued, quote, you are devastated to share this news with you. The show must go on is in our DNA, and this is the first time in 34 years that the March event will not take place. We are now working through the ramifications of this unprecedented situation. Organizers also said they were exploring options to reschedule the event, which was expected to draw more than 200,000 people, and we're working to offer an online experience for 2020 participants. In communication with the Austin Chronicle late Friday, South by Southwest co-founder and managing director Roland Swenson told the outlet that the festival does not have an insurance plan to cover this specific reason for cancellation. Quote, "We have a lot of insurance, terrorism, injury, property destruction, weather. However, bacterial infections, communicable diseases, viruses, and pandemics are not covered," which is crazy. That sucks. And then this comes from Steven Spahn of Able Gamers to add some more context and information. He, I don't know where he wrote this. I don't think he tweeted it because this looks too long to be a tweet, but he might have tweeted it. "As you'd imagine, I'm incredibly sad. Not only was I receiving an industry award, but there was a super secret surprise. While I understand why South by Southwest was canceled, I'm sad because disabled people don't get award recognition that often. I'm sad I wasn't able to represent for others." So that's like an example of how South by Southwest cancellation kind of affects this industry, right? Because South by Southwest, for people who don't know, is a big festival.
I mean, it's huge.
It's a huge festival.
It's one of the biggest media festivals in the world, if not the biggest, because it's not just film. It's not just games. It's not just TV. It's not just comedy. It's literally, it's all of them. And it's not a weekend. It's like a month.
Yeah.
It's a giant, long event. There's so many events around it, and it is huge in Austin every single year. This is crazy. And, man, just one by one, these things happening, like, the ramifications are huge.
Yeah. No, it sucks. And this is the thing that's been more and more eye-opening as we keep talking about this every single episode, is the fact that when we first started talking about this, you know, I was like, okay, we'll see how much this affects the industry. Like, GDC was, like, the main concern. Now seeing that, like, oh, no, a lot of things are getting canceled.
I'm just waiting for a call saying, hey, RTX is canceled.
And yeah.
Like, that's crazy because that's July. But at some point, it's like you got to get ahead of it if you're going to do it, right? E3 is the next one in line, though. Like,
yeah, it is.
Like, that's – I'm shocked that they haven't said anything yet.
Yeah. Not nail biologists.
But they've been saying things. But, like, I'm surprised they haven't said they're canceling it yet.
How close do you think it'll be until they say so?
I don't know. Because it's
one of those things where you kind of want to test the waters and see, like, can we get there and this stuff blow over?
I mean, we're getting real, real damn close.
We are. I mean, we got 3 months.
Kind of. Yeah.
Nail Biologist writes in and says, "Good morning, Bless and Tim. Sonic the Hedgehog was supposed to have a panel during South by Southwest this year, but unfortunately it got pushed to April after the event got canceled. My question, though, revolves around the existence of a panel. The last one that came to mind was advertised being the new age of Sonic, and then we got Sonic Boom. Since we haven't gotten a major Sonic game, excluding Team Sonic Racing, do you expect a new Sonic game there? And with your history of Sonic in the games industry, do you foresee this being another Sonic Forces announcement? Can we hope that the Sonic team is listening to his fans and will be addressing all past complaints about past games? Thanks, the Nailbiologist."
Sonic has a history of doing panels at South by Southwest. If I remember correctly, they do it every year. This is where they announced Sonic Mania Plus. I want to say it was last year. It might have been 2 years ago.
I feel like that was 2 years ago.
Yeah, but like there's always like some type of announcements, or at least there's a panel. There's not necessarily always announcements. Sometimes they do a panel and it's kind of just like a look back at the year or whatever, hanging out with the community, the community manager Aaron Weber over at on the Sonic team. I think that we are due for new Sonic games. Me and you were talking about this recently.
Yeah, I was like, when are we getting a new Sonic game? Because it's been 3 years since Sonic Forces.
And someone on the someone on the Sonic team was saying that this year is going to be, that 2020 is going to be as big for Sonic as 2017 was.
Yeah.
And 2017 is when we saw Sonic Mania and Sonic Forces.
Yes.
This year we got Sonic the Movie already, so that's a pretty big thing. There needs to be a game to back that up as well.
Yeah, and I remember at the beginning of this year, there was like a post from, I don't know if it was the Sonic team or Sega, but in some official capacity it was posted that, hey, there's going to be Sonic news every month.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we got Sonic news last month or if that was supposed to be the Sonic movie or whatever that was. But, I mean, that kind of contributes to that, right? Like, the biggest year for Sonic since 2017. Like, I feel like it's time for a new Sonic game.
Here's one thing, Bless. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw it out there. And this is one of those, like, no type statements I'm about to make.
Uh-huh.
I would have never thought this would happen. But with the decisions Sonic team's been making over the last couple of years, I think at some point it's inevitable. We will get Sonic Adventure 3.
Whoa, that's not where I thought you were going.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say Sonic Mania 2, and I was like, yeah.
Oh, but, that's what I want.
Yeah.
But I think that...
Dude, that would be a...
People would lose their fucking minds.
Because I think that would be the next move, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Given because
they've kind of done everything else.
Yeah, because they Sonic
go
Forces
go back to the well.
Sonic Forces was basically Sonic Generations 2, mm-hmm. but Sonic Forces kind of sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to go back to the well, right? Sonic is a franchise that is all about nostalgia and kind of going back to things over and over and over again. And so, like, Sonic Adventure 3 sounds like it's the next move. Like,
let's
it
go,
sounds
baby.
Like it's easily the
let's
next
let's do
move.
It. Let's do it.
Man, what about Sonic Heroes 2,
though? I was saying
though?
That, dude. Sonic Mania 2 with playable Shadow.
That'd be hot.
Let's fucking go.
Dude, imagine Sonic Mania 2 out this summer,
ooh.
Which isn't going to happen.
No, it's too
it
soon.
Be, yeah, it
Sonic Mania 1 took forever to come out, it felt like.
I feel like it was like a year or so.
Which, for a 2D platformer, feels
fair.
Like forever.
Yeah. Man, the idea of like Sonic Mania 2 in the summer and then Sonic Adventure 3 in the fall, oh, that's not going to happen at all, but... Oh, man, I feel it. Tim, I'm so excited to see whether or not we get a Sonic game announced and it being Sonic Adventure 3. But I think Sonic Adventure 3 is so far away. Mm-hmm. If I want to know what's coming out to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, yeah.
Yeah.
Before I get to out today, let me tell you about our sponsors. Today, Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. As most of us have found out the hard way, getting into debt is easy. Getting out is hard, especially if your credit score isn't great. Thankfully, now there's Upstart.com, the revolutionary lending platform that knows you're more than just your credit score and offers smarter interest rates to help you pay off high-interest credit card debt. You know it. When Greg moved to SF, he needed a loan,
mm-hmm.
and that loan had a terrible interest rate. Upstart would have helped. Upstart goes beyond the traditional credit score when assessing your credit worthiness. They actually reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. Upstart believes you're more than just your credit score. They believe in you. They make it fast, simple, and easy to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate. The best part, once the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. That's the next day.
Wow.
Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt by consolidating everything you own or consolidating everything into one monthly payment with Upstart. See why Upstart is top ranked in their category with a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry to upstart.com/KFGames to find out how low your Upstart rate is. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/KFGames. Next, we're brought to you by Mint Mobile. If you're still using one of the big wireless providers this year, have you asked yourself what you're paying for? Between expensive retail stores, inflated prices, and hidden fees, you're being taken advantage of because they know you'll pay. Enter Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile provides the same premium network coverage you're used to, but at a fraction of the cost because everything is online. Mint Mobile saves on retail locations and overhead, then passes those savings directly to you. Tim got his mom this because he noticed she was paying for all sorts of stuff she wasn't using.
It's true, man. And switching over to Mint Mobile for my mom, best decision I ever made. Saves me a ton of money because I'm the one paying for it.
Boom.
So, yeah, like that. Enjoy that a lot.
Mint Mobile makes it easy to cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month. Every plan comes with unlimited nationwide talk and text. With Mint Mobile, stop paying for unlimited data you'll never use. Choose between plans with 3, 8, or 12 gigabytes of 4G LTE data. Use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and keep your same phone number along with all your existing contacts. Ditch your old wireless bill and start saving with Mint Mobile. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/games. That's mintmobile.com/games. Cut your wireless bill down to just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/games. Lastly, we're brought to you by Brook Linen. Greg, Tim, and so many more Kind of Funny members only sleep on Brook Linen sheets because they're the most comfortable sheets in the world.
They're so soft, baby. They're so soft. They're so beautiful. I got new ones recently.
Really?
Yeah, because I was just like, it's time. It's time to upgrade. We moved recently.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're trying to go for a new look, new vibe, 2020, baby. Soft as ever, but now we have different colors. Still a
ooh,
shade
what colors?
Of blue. Still, okay. Maybe not different colors, but like
different type of blue.
Patterns of blue.
Okay, fair. You know Brook Linen as the internet's favorite sheets, but they're also home to bedding, loungewear, towels, and more with over 50,000 plus five-star reviews and counting. Greg loves them because they're soft, stylish, and easy to build online. Brooklinen was the first direct-to-consumer bedding company that worked directly with manufacturers and directly with consumers. No middlemen, just a great product and service. All luxury products without the luxury markup. They've moved beyond the bedroom to offer bathroom and life essentials. That's towels, shower curtains, bath mats, robes, and candles to add that extra lavish touch. Even ultra soft loungewear, making you feel like you never left the bed. Brooklinen.com is the perfect place to start making small changes that make big differences. Brooklinen is so confident in their product that all their sheets, comforters, loungewear, and towels come with a lifetime warranty. Go on, make yourself comfortable. Get 10% off your first order and free shipping when you use the promo code GAMES only at Brooklinen.com. That's BROKLINEN.com. Promo code GAMES. And hey, New Yorkers, that's right, kind of funny New York. We know you know the communities out there. If you're listening, you can get the internet's favorite sheets and more in real life. That's IRL. Visit Brooklinen's first store in Brooklyn at 127 Kent Avenue in Williamsburg.
Brooklinen in Brooklyn.
Whoa. Brooklyn. Brooklinen. That's wild. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Out today as I scroll up because those are some long ads. Horizons Gate for PC is out today. The Escaper for PC. Comic Book Tycoon for PC. Fourth Generation Warfare is out today for Steam. And then Mario Kart World Tour has a multiplayer update. This comes from GameSpot. All you need to do is update Mario Kart Tour to unlock multiplayer, which allows you to finally race against other human opponents. For standard races, the rule sets will change every day, which in theory should encourage people to come back each day to see what's new. Players can also invite specific players to custom races where they decide the rules as it relates to items, laps, etc. Another variant is called Gold Races, and these are locked behind a paywall. Players must buy the $5 or $5 a month Gold Pass to participate in these races, which includes faster speeds at 200cc. The Gold Pass also comes with an allotment of in-game currency and badges. Tim, does that do anything for you online? No? Really? Didn't you play a whole bunch of Mario Kart Tour, though?
I played way too much of it. It was bullshit. I hate this game.
Really? Even now that it has online?
Yeah, dude. Oh, great. No. Too little, too late. The headline of this episode. Too little, too late, baby. Boom.
New dates for you. We have Paper Beast, which is coming to PSVR March 24th. And then Shenmue 3 is receiving final DLC in Big Merry Cruise on March 17th. I don't know what any of those words
mean. Big ol' Merry Cruise.
The only thing I know there is Shenmue 3. Everything else, final DLC, Big Merry Cruise, March 17th. I don't know any of those things. Now it's time for reader mail. Of course, you can write in to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can also get the show ad-free. Let's see who wrote in today. Jamie S. writes in and says, good morning, blessing Tim. Yesterday was International Women's Day, so I thought in recognition, it might be interesting to hear you shout out some women in the industry who think deserve more attention for their work. Who should the KFBFs be paying attention to that we might not be already? Are there women in games that you personally look up to or aspire to emulate in your work at Kinda Funny?
There are so many. So many. The first one to come to mind, though, that I want to give a shout out to is the Twitch streamer Paladin Amber.
Oh, dude, Paladin Amber is awesome.
Paladin Amber. I don't know how to fucking say it. What? Is it?
Yeah.
Is it so common?
I mean, it's not the most common word.
Well, I know.
I don't
but, like.
I mispronounce words all
one
the time.
Very specific, like video games. I feel like people say that word. It doesn't matter.
But what
there's
if
a, there's
I,
a game
Kevin,
called Paladins.
Kevin, just,
RPGs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Where there's a lot of reading, not hearing.
That's my thing too. Yeah.
But I.
Because I learned that word from Fire Emblem.
I only learned it because other people use it. You know what I mean? All the time.
All the time, though. What context?
I feel like it's a word that's thrown into, South Park.
Kevin's hanging out with a bunch of nerds.
Yeah.
In South Park to make fun of people.
Yeah. Hey, I'm gonna make one thing very clear.
I want to
make this is a public service announcement. Mm-hmm. Kev, can I get the
PSA? Now it's time for a public service announcement from Slim Shady.
I have never known how to say words. I probably never will know how to say words. I'm trying my best. We're all just trying our best out here. Please understand me and all of us in this trying time. Paladin. Is it Paladin?
Paladin, yeah.
Not Paladin?
No.
Not Paladin 2? Return to Jafar? I'm sorry. All right.
Paladins.
Paladin.
Paladin Amber.
Paladin Amber.
Yes.
She's fucking awesome. She's really funny.
She's hilarious.
And I want to give her a shout out.
Absolutely love. Whenever I see clips coming out of her Twitch stream, I always stop to watch because they're always usually gold.
It's gold.
I want to shout out. This is the homie, but I feel like she still deserves a shout out. Rihanna.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, Rihanna Manuel. She just joined What's Good Games last week. Congratulations, Rihanna. Follow her at, I want to see if I can find her. I think it's Rihanna Tweets Now. Not spelled like the singer. It's like R-I-A-N-A.
Yeah.
Rihanna Tweets Now. But she's very hardworking. She also works in the industry. Yeah, at Rihanna Tweets Now. Go show her some love. Tell her congratulations if you haven't for joining What's Good Games. And then I also want to give a shout out to, I listen a lot to GameSpot After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
And Callie Plaguey and Lucy James are both regulars on there. And they're killing the game. And one day I want to be as good podcasters as they are someday. And then Lucy O'Brien from IGN, also
course,
shout out.
Of course. Yeah. Elise Willems. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Barbara Dunkelman. All the people that we would normally say. But I want to give one more shout out. One very, very real shout out to someone that doesn't get enough shout outs. She gets a lot of praise, but not enough. Joey Noel.
Oh, yeah.
The backbone of Kinda Funny. We got the glue Kevin Coelho, but we got the backbone Joey Noel making things happen day in and day out.
We appreciate you. Charles Jacobson writes in and says, Greetings, bless and Tim. They said Greg and Tim. Everybody said Greg and Tim, but I've been changing it because I've been editorializing because Greg is dead right now. Yeah. R.I.P. What was that, Kevin?
No. I don't like his attitude.
I don't like his attitude either. I was going to say it, but I'll say it now. How do we get rid of it? Charles Jacobson writes, I want to bring this tweet to your attention as it's equal parts KFGD and Internet Explorers. And Kevin, could you bring up this tweet? Because I saw this weekend too. It's worth showing the kids. Stadia's Twitter had the fun idea to spell your name using only video game titles. Except when they got to I, they used the shrug emoji. Kids, you can see this, right? So on Twitter, they tweeted this, right? Spell your name using only video game titles. We'll go first, right? And the S for Stadia is for Steamroll Dig. The T is for Thumper. The A is for Assassin's Creed Odyssey. The D is for Doom Eternal. And then the I, shrug emoji. Then the A is for Attack on Titan 2. Final
battle. They don't have all the letters.
They don't have a game that starts with I.
Why would they do this?
I would not have known that until they tweeted this.
They should have gotten a game that started with I at least.
So,
dude, yo, this is...
This
is really bad, and like, you know, whatever. We shouldn't be here nitpicking this type of thing, but I'm going to. This only has 213 retweets for this type of tweet. That like, this is a clickbaity ass tweet.
Quote tweets aren't included in the retweets.
Are they not?
No,
yeah, they are.
Are they? I don't think they are.
I'm pretty sure they are.
Should I find out?
Yeah, look that up, Kevin. Because I've never thought that. This is the perfect way to find it.
Yeah. Good job.
Is amazing. Oh, for the audio listeners, Kevin just quote tweeted from the Kinda Funny account and just wrote test.
Well, like refresh.
Because I don't think quote tweets are included in the.
Oh, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, I learned something today, and you know what? I take it all back.
Maybe they're doing because
this is a quote tweet thing, so maybe they're doing fine.
So I bet if you look at the replies, I bet you they'll have a lot. But I don't know why they tweeted this.
Yeah, man, like, it's bad.
This is so sad.
Maybe they're teasing that they're gonna put a game that starts with I up soon, or maybe they're about to announce an exclusive I game. Maybe that's the thing, and this is just bad framing.
Cool. That's only cool if there's a big I game that exists. You know what I mean? Like, if there's a game right now that we're like, oh, shit, that starts with an I.
They're definitely teasing.
But they're not. They're really, really not. It's just showing how pathetic their library is.
I'm going to flip this.
Mm-hmm.
Bless.
Yes.
Top of your head. You can't fucking think. Do it.
An I game?
No, blessing.
Oh, blessing. All right. B for, oh, God. Baldur's Gate. Okay. L, Lumines, E. God, what? Starts with an E.
Excite Bike.
What?
Excite Bike.
Oh, Excite Bike. Excite Bots, whatever. S. God, I can't think so quickly. what? Street Fighter for the first S. Streets of Rage for the second S. for the I, Ikaruga. And I don't know why Ikaruga was so easy for me for I, but I couldn't think of any other letters. Nice is real quick does not start with an N.
Oh my God, this is awesome.
And There's got to be a night game that's not like night night, but like a good night night.
Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden, thank you. And G, goodbye moon. I don't know. Good night moon.
Good night moon.
Good night moon.
I'm sure
there
was a Game Boy Advance game based on the book Good Night Moon.
Probably.
Kevin, go.
What?
Go.
Tim's going last because he's thinking right now.
No, I'm not. I have three letters. That's Twisted true. Metal 2, Infamous 2, Metal Slug 2. I'm done. Oh, I can't.
All right,
wait
Kevin,
for Kevin,
your turn.
Why do I have
someone who infamously misspelled his name backwards and had it as his screen name for years.
Still, well, I mean, it doesn't matter. What's a K game that I get behind?
Knights of the Old Republic.
I never played it. Give me another one.
Killer Instinct.
Never played.
Why is this all
you
do for other
people? You're just video games.
Just give me another one.
Give you another what?
Give me another K one.
I don't know, man. Killer is Dead.
No, I never played that.
King's Quest.
Keep going.
That's Kingdoms of Amalur, Kingdom Hearts.
No, I don't like Kingdom Hearts.
What's
Kevin?
Kevin is something else today.
I fucking hate him.
We're so close. Keep going.
Michael Knight writes in and says, "Good morning, Blessing Tim. Since news of the Last of Us HBO series, I've done some research. Why do I could keep? I could think of so many K games, and I couldn't think of a game that starts with E.
For reals. EverQuest.
That was a lot of fun, guys. Thank you. Oh, Knack. That's what I was thinking.
I hate you so much.
Okay, I like where Kevin's at right now. Let's go Knack number one, and then
we're still going.
What's an E game?
E.
It's so hard when you're on the spot, isn't it?
What's
E.T.
That, what's that game?
The Atari
yeah,
game.
All right, I'll take that one. I'll take it. All right, a V game. Oh, fuck.
Vanquish.
No, it's not a game I play.
You'd love Vanquish.
What was the sad one?
Yeah, you would like Vanquish.
Well, about
Valiant Hearts.
There it is.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Back to
I.
We've already said Infamous. We've already said Ikaruga, so you can't use those.
I'm pretty sure I can.
I don't know about that.
Injustice?
Injustice would be a good one.
He said, no, I don't like Injustice. He said Infamous 2. Can I say Infamous 1?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
And then N.
N, huh? What is that little mouse game?
Need for Speed.
Ni No Kuni.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Wait, the little mouse game.
Is that not a mouse?
Moss?
No.
Ni No Kuni?
Ni No Kuni might have a mouse.
I mean, it might have a mouse. I wouldn't call it the mouse game.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't call it that either, but I get the sentiment. That seems like a game that'll have a little mouse in it, though.
Oh, man.
Michael Knight writes in and says, since the news of The Last of Us HBO series, I've done some research into live-action TV series based on video games. Animated is a different story. Spoiler, there is nothing great out there, and the majority of shows are only one season long. Personally, I only see good things coming from Druckmann, Mazin, and HBO, but could you see the show flopping and being a one to two season-long affair? Thanks for all you do.
When it comes to HBO, I don't think that one to two seasons is a flop.
Yeah, that's my thing.
It's probably by design. Like I feel like, with rare exception, the shows are designed to be a certain length, and that length is usually one to two seasons. And if it goes beyond that, that's just because they have like a megaton hit on their hands.
Yeah,
they're trying
it's
to like
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones is different because it's literally based on books. So okay. It's like, we know, mm-hmm. like, oh, well, the story's not done.
Yeah.
Right? So if
Last of Us is kind of a—I mean, Last of Us is not Game of Thrones in terms of like how much they can tackle there, but I feel like you could go on for quite a bit with The Last of Us. What's so
yeah,
funny,
but
Kevin?
I just don't...
In my mind, these are all funnies. I legitimately remember this poster.
All of them. They're all mice.
Those... I think the ears confuse me, baby. It's not mice.
That's why I didn't question it. Like I didn't question it as hard because I don't remember.
There's a cat over here. That's pretty close.
No, because I knew there were like weird creatures in Ni No Kuni, so I was like, maybe there's a mouse.
What the hell's going on here? They were all mice in my mind.
I take it back.
I don't know what he is.
I take it back. I didn't like Kevin's attitude. I'm liking it now. I'm loving the energy. Woo!
I played like the first few hours of Ni No Kuni, and I couldn't tell you what that thing is.
Okay.
Oh, man.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't. I wouldn't worry about it being like a one to two season flop. I would think. Like,
I would prefer it, man.
Yeah, like, I would like to be one to two seasons.
Post-apocalyptic fucking worlds. We've seen them, and we've seen them just go on and on and on. And on. And next thing you know, they have two spinoff shows, and it's season 10 of Walking Dead. You know what I mean?
Yep.
We don't need that. Last of Us works because it is a tight story. Keep it a tight story.
Tight. Tight. Next up, Squad Up. But whoa, there is no Squad Up. Remember, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to get your Squad Up read. That's if you want to play video games with people, play video games with the community, have a good old time. Now it's time for kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong to see what we got wrong today. Let's see. Wow, y'all wrote in a lot.
Oh my god.
Realm Royale was the one I was thinking of, like the World of Warcraft-ish battle royale game.
What?
Realm Royale.
Why did you need an R?
What?
Realm Royale.
Realm?
There's no R in Blessing.
I didn't say an R.
No, Realm Royale is the game that's a battle royale.
We're talking about this is a
fucking goddamn Kevin. I take it back again. Reverse on the reverse. I don't like it.
Nail Biologist clarifies that we've known about the battle royale mode since January or February because it leaked. That's a thing I knew, but when they confirmed it, I was like, there's no point in bringing up the leak, but there you go.
Capitalist Pig says that IGN's Battlefront 2 review went from a 6.5 to an 8.8.
Oh.
Cam Sterriere just says novel just means new.
Yep. But it's weird because it's in its name.
It's weird that everyone just keeps saying it.
Yeah, I'm like, why?
Like, it's new Super Mario Brothers, even though it's the fucking fifth entry in that franchise.
Oh, a lot of people are just saying novel means new. That's why there's so many year-longs.
But that doesn't seem right. You know what I mean? It doesn't seem right.
It's a novel way to say it.
At what point is it not new anymore also?
Novel means new, so it's the new coronavirus. Other coronaviruses include SARS. This is just the newest strain. I don't like the fact that I'm hearing the word strain outside of Resident Evil and in real life. Just want to put that out there.
Blackjack says there are two S's in your name, and you didn't name a single Sonic game. Legit, yeah. My brain turns to mush when I'm put on the spot.
No, mm-hmm. It's hard, man. I get it.
It's really, really, really hard.
Like, when Tim put you on the spot, I was like, ha-ha! And then he put me on the spot, and I was like, wait, this doesn't make any sense.
People in You're Wrong, both Bless You All and Charles J said the thing from Ni No Kuni is a plush. It's named Drippy.
That's disgusting. That's the grossest thing I've ever heard.
He's very Scottish.
He is very Scottish, though. That was my favorite part of playing Ni No Kuni. I was like, his Scottish accent is so strong.
Oh, Lord.
But we agreed. Drippy might be the most disgusting name that guy could have, right?
Drippy's bad. I think we're good on your
own. Yeah, I think we're good. Of course, tomorrow's hosts are me and Imran. And now it's time for the Kind of Funny post show. Supporters at the silver membership or above get the show on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stay tuned for that. Until next time, Game Daily.